You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. And when I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com, so you can check out my latest article there all over NFL free agency, and that'll be the focus of Locked On Fantasy Football shows as well as I go more in-depth in what I have up on the site on SN. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Vinny Iyer, and on Facebook, where you can check out old shows. Our previous show, we broke down Jimmy Garoppolo, the deal, and what's coming up for him in fantasy football, and if he's going to live up to the production there for 2018. Looks good so far. Now we're going to focus on a prominent free agent wide receiver that was pretty good in fantasy last year. That would be Jarvis Landry of the Dolphins, and especially in a PPR league, if you had him, he finished number 5 there in scoring, leading the NFL in receptions. Didn't get to 1,000 yards, but had a career-high 9 touchdowns. And then in a standard league, that put him right outside wide receiver 1. So solidly a upper-tier wide receiver 1 at PPR. But he was good in standard as well, 14th behind Adam Thielen and Devontae Adams. Some big play guys who also scored a few times, and right ahead of guys like Alshon Jeffrey, Stephon Diggs, Mike Evans, Demaryius Thomas, T.Y. Hilton, Dez Bryant, a lot of guys that Jarvis Landry was better than in standard leagues. I think everyone looked at him as a PPR-only specialist here, but he's meant a lot more, especially that he's scored now. They used him more in the red zone, and I think that'll continue here going forward, no matter where he lands. He is an NFL free agent, and that's why we're focusing on him. It doesn't look good for a return to the Dolphins. He wants big, big money. The Dolphins seem to not be budging from what he wants, and it's getting pretty nasty there, the negotiations. So I would expect Landry was on his way out. Remember, he was on the trading block right along with Jay Ajayi there in the 2017 season, look to maybe move him in October. Just a tough guy to deal with. He's a demanding guy, but he is demanding of himself as well, and the excellence is there on the field, and I think he can help plenty a team, and I think everywhere he goes, and I'll talk about the top 5 teams that I've listed here on SportingNews.com, but I think anywhere he goes, he's going to have a big impact because people saw he could be a short scoring threat as well. I don't think the Dolphins kind of trusted him in that way, but having Jay Cutler quarterback kind of got Landry into more of a red zone threat, and that makes him a little bit more of a complete receiver. Still not the biggest receiver, still averaged less than 10 yards per catch, is very unusual. So, but that said, I mean, he's a solid, high upside wide receiver 2 in standard and a wide receiver 1 for sure in PPR. Now, could the value actually go up? That's going to be an interesting thing for sure where he goes. And I think the number one team that I like to see him end up with is the Raiders. And it's a very good fit here because Landry, they need a slot guy. They've struggled at that position. They're probably going to let Michael Crabtree go. So there's going to be some catches to be made opposite Amari Cooper. We know that Cooper struggled a little bit last season, was banged up. Still a top flight receiver, but I think Cooper's maybe better as a complementary threat so he can get the easier coverage here. And Landry is a tough cover because he can work the slot very well. So I would look at the Raiders and looking at his role in this offense. John Gruden really loves Jarvis Landry. I think Derek Carr, with the way he can throw the ball, short to intermediate routes, would really like a receiver like Landry. And remember, Michael Crabtree has been a headache in its own right, sometimes demanding the ball. But I think Landry could be more smoothly transitioned into their West Coast offense. He's had some of that tinge there in Miami, but I think with Gruden and Greg Olsen there, remember Greg Olsen was with the Rams where Cooper Kupp had a big season just now working the slot. So Landry obviously more established than Kupp, not that much older, and can be very productive. So I really like this fit for the Raiders. I think that would be his top fantasy destination as well because he would pretty much be a go-to guy there with a high volume, maybe even higher than he had in Miami with a better, more stable quarterback situation. Now, the other team that's obviously out there is the Chicago Bears. And we saw Kendall Wright have some flashes of fantasy value working the slot. He was pretty much the Bears' best receiver by default. They brought in guys like Dontrell Inman to help with Kevin White and Cameron Meredith. Not in the picture early there. So there was a bit of mess there. They needed to wait till Mike Glennon struggled and benched, as we thought would happen. And now he's locked in. Trubisky is as the starting quarterback in year two. He's got a new coach there in Matt Nagy. Remember Matt Nagy really helped Tyreek Hill there. Different type of receiver, stretching the field. But Landry can be a big asset here. I think they have to look at the skill set of Trubisky, throwing the ball underneath, his athleticism, a little bit of Ryan Tannehill in him. So you can see the parallels there, and let Landry can be effective with Trubisky. So there in that situation, he would step in as the number one receiver, so-called. I mean, he's not the traditional number one, but you know he would eat up high volume as the go-to guy for Trubisky. So that's not a bad spot either. This Bears passing game should be much improved with Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich watching over this offense. It's not going to be stodgy. It's not going to be conservative the way it is with Jordan Howard and what they did. Very conservative with John Fox. Things are going to open up with Trubisky and take advantage of his arm strength. So I think that's exactly where this fit could be outstanding here. Landry's volume would continue there. I think it'd be a big red zone threat as well, because the Bears are pretty creative with the way they use their players, especially with now Nagy and Helfrich there. I think Landry could turn high volume into higher scoring production and maybe a few more big plays in this particular offense. Now, make sure you're checking out all the great podcasts on the Locked On Alpha Network, Locked On Raiders, Locked On Bears. Those are just two of your resources, and there are a lot of great wide receivers coming up in the 2018 NFL Draft. The best way to find out about all of those is by listening to Locked On NFL Draft, hosted by John Ledyard there, and Trevor Sycamore also joins him on the show, so check that out. They do a fantastic job scouting the future talent that's coming in the NFL, and we'll keep you posted as we develop and get closer to the draft. We'll make an emphasis of that in fantasy football as well. Now, let's look at an AFC team that's prominent there for the services of what Jarvis Landry can do. Tennessee Titans, you look at them. Kendall Wright, we talked about him with the Bears being a free agent and moving on. He was previously with the Titans. He was a pretty darn good slot receiver for the Titans. I know it was a different offense and all that. He had over 90 catches and all that. But Landry, we know, is over 100. He's had 400 catches in 4 years, so exactly 100 there. You have Corey Davis trying to find his rhythm as a number one pick there, first rounder, that really came on strong in the playoffs. So Corey Davis figures to be back. Rishard Matthews will be in the mix. You'll have Delanie Walker, of course, being a key security blanket for Marcus Mariota. But he's got a new quarterback whisperer and turned offensive coordinator there, and Matt LaFleur coming over from the Rams. Another guy that was tied to Cooper Kupp there in the production from Jared Goff. Cooper Kupp changed everything for Goff. He was the go-to guy, really opened things up for Robert Woods and then eventually Sammy Watkins as well. So you look at these guys, I think Rishard Matthews, there's a lot of parallel between him and Woods. I think Davis can be a better version of what Sammy Watkins is maybe that true number one. So when you look at the Titans, there's some parallels there between the Rams and Titans. And you have to look at that sometimes, connect the dots. And I think with the Titans, the big question will be, versus what we mentioned with the Raiders and the Bears, is the volume there. They're going to go away from this exotic smash mouth. Looks like it right now, because they're looks like they're going away from this two-back system, being very conservative with Mariota. I think it's time to let him loose. And LaFleur, we know the Rams are very aggressive, so I expect them to be aggressive. But it's still hard to trust Landry in that system. I think that, to me, given this production in Miami, would be considered a downgrade destination for him. But the other ones would be up, up, up. I think more so the Raiders shoot up. The Bears are slightly a little bit more, while the Titans are probably more than a little bit down if Landry goes there. Another team I'm looking at for Landry is the New Orleans Saints, and you probably know that Jarvis Landry is from Louisiana. You know he played at LSU with Odell Beckham Jr. So when you look at all that, there's some homecoming attributes to Jarvis Landry playing for the Saints. And now the question would be, you think, okay, he's going to the Saints. Everything's hunky-dory. He's going to put up big numbers. It's a high-volume passing game. But keep in mind, this is now a very diverse offense with a very good rushing attack with Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara usage in the passing game as well. We know that both those guys were able to be productive as the Saints built big leads, but there were some games where not all of them had to do things. Michael Thomas had some big games. It was pretty steady overall, but there were some games that were limited and not as explosive, and Ted Ginn had his moments as well flashing in this offense. So it'll be a situation, though. How many mouths is too many mouths there? You look at Thomas, his production would be cut into. Ginn for sure. Landry would cut into a little bit of Kamara's production as well as a receiver there. So it'd be interesting. I think that would be a good reality move for the Saints because he would be another weapon that can put them over the top in the NFC. But in terms of fantasy, I think that would be kind of a detriment to Landry just because there's a lot of other guys who can touch the ball. We know Thomas was outstanding, doesn't drop anything there. He's still going to be the clear-cut number one. Ginn is going to be that deep threat there, staying there. So Brandon Coleman, Willie Snead, both restricted free agents. The Saints are going to have to make a decision on them. But clearly, if they go after Landry, he's a big slot upgrade. I think Kamara, you'll have to watch his value as well. I mean, Kamara, we're pretty high on after his awesome campaign that got him named Offensive Rookie of the Year for Sporting News, voted by his peers. So when you look at Kamara, they might have to scale back there. Maybe Kamara has to make up for it with his touches in the running game, but that's what we're going to watch for. So you necessarily don't want another mouth there for the Saints in terms of fantasy. In terms of reality, it would make perfect sense. That's not saying that Landry would be very unappealing if he went to New Orleans and got his deal from his home state team, but he would definitely be someone I would look at less. The Dolphins, because remember there were times where the Dolphins, where you thought there were too many guys there, Kenny Stills cutting into some production, but the Saints are a whole different ballgame in terms of their depth and production, especially when you consider how much they use Kamara in them passing him as well as Ingram. Now, we go to the Vikings here, and this is a team that I had listed. I'll also mention a couple periphery teams that I don't think they're going to happen, but we'll stick with the Vikings as being our option number five here on the article. You can check out more there, and I have done from a reality perspective on SportingNews.com. So expanding here for fantasy on Jarvis Landry. With the Vikings, you look at their offense is well-structured. The question is, are they going to try to make a package deal? Are they going to use Jarvis Landry, the potential of getting him to draw on someone like Kirk Cousins? Are they going to use it to make Case Keenum have capping, keep him around? Another way they could look at it is Teddy Bridgewater. Are they going to trust him? Bridgewater did throw with Jarvis Landry along with Stephon Diggs last summer as he was getting ready for training camp on his way back. So there was some connection there with the Miami and Bridgewater having coming from Miami, Landry playing in Miami, Diggs a prominent player there as well. So Diggs could help in the recruitment of Landry. Of course, he already has a pretty good running buddy in Adam Thielen, so this would be a splurge pick for the Vikings, but they have some money. They have a team that's on the brink of winning it all here, and they don't need too much more offensively. Their defense is pretty solid here. We know that. They're going to get Dalvin Cook back in the rushing attack to help their defense. They're going to lose the services probably of Jerick McKinnon. He wants to be more of a feature back elsewhere. We know that's not going to help, and he's not going to get that type of money in Minnesota because of Cook coming back. You also have Latavius Murray's presence on early down, so they're not going to trust McKinnon as an every down back. So they're going to have a void of filling a guy that can catch some short passes. So they might not look for that more in the backfield. I know Cook can do that, but maybe Cook, they ease him in a little bit. Don't overload him with touches as he comes back there. So I can see a clear opening for Landry to not only go to Minnesota, but also be very productive there. Even with the other receivers, that's obviously going to dig into what Diggs and Thielen do there. But remember, Diggs was more like a Ted Ginn than you would like to admit there with his production, parallel to what Ginn did with the Saints, because he was a little bit sporadic, went for deep balls, had some big games, but also could be limited and did not much in games. And Thielen would do that. But Thielen also faded down the stretch. So clear that the defenses were able to focus on Thielen a little bit later in the season and contain him. Diggs got free a little bit. We know he had the Minneapolis Miracle in there, but they could use another guy in there. I know Darius Wright is a guy that popped up and was productive in the playoffs, has had some moments there, but look at Laquon Treadwell. He looks pretty bust-worthy at this point. He really has been a blip on the radar as a first-round pick in Minnesota, so they could use some receiving help. And again, if they're looking at Kirk Cousins or something like that and going to this John DeFilippo offense, you got, remember what a big cog that Nelson Agholor was for the Eagles when DeFilippo was there with Doug Peterson and Frank Reich. And so when you look at that, there are a lot of parallels, and that's what we draw here to help us to find out production when we're dealing with new guys and new teams, new coordinators, new quarterbacks, new teammates, all that kind of stuff. We try to draw parallels to what they could do with other guys. So, and now you go back to the Vikings and their pursuit of Cousins. Again, it's not bad because we know Cousins is very good when he's loaded at those key positions, that if that means deep threat, possession guy, slot guy, and tight end. And you already have that with Kyle Rudolph. So this would be a pretty dangerous Vikings offense. I know Keenum did the best he could there working with Pat Shurmur, but Shurmur's gone. That offense is gone. I know there's some concepts that DeFilippo has the same, but he's a little bit more West Coast. Well, Shurmur's more Earhart Perkins with his play calling. So there will be a little bit of a change in the Vikings offense. There's an opportunity there for Landry. And again, if they can say, Kirk Cousins, yeah, you come on over, we'll get you a receiver. You're going to be in good position to challenge for the NFC title and win the Super Bowl. We were not far away. We were in the championship game last year, but they can make a deal where all this comes together. So Landry goes there. Again, it would be a little bit like the Saints situation where his value goes down a little bit and that of Thielen and Diggs. So in terms of fantasy, the Saints and Vikings, because they're so loaded, wouldn't be the best. But you look at the Raiders and Bears, clearly pretty good. Now, a couple of wild card teams that we can look at for the services of Jarvis Landry. People mentioned the 49ers. And if you heard me on the 49ers podcast, they're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo's value immediately in 2018. That they're pretty good at receiver right now. Whether they have Pierre Garçon coming back. He was playing very well before he got hurt. You got Marquise Goodwin, a revelation there. He's still under contract for a relatively cheap price. They all, remember, they signed both these guys last offseason before they knew they were getting Garoppolo with Brian Hoyer and C.J. Beathard in mind. So that could keep them away from free agency at wide receiver to me for John Lynch. They could look more in the draft to look for a guy to come through there going forward. And I think the same thing applies at running back. So I don't see him with the 49ers. If, say, he went there, I think there's a good upside, obviously, because of what Jimmy Garoppolo can do. So I would still like that move because overall I know Garçon and Trent Taylor and Goodwin are there, but I wouldn't say that any of those guys who could really cut into Landry the way that the Saints or Vikings receivers could already that are established there. And finally, one team that I've seen as well that they've been rumored is the Jaguars. Now, that'll be interesting. You'll have to see a lot of how things a lot of play out there because you got Allen Hurns still. He's a potential cap casualty, but he played very well in the slot. So there's that. Marquise Lee, they could let walk. He's a durability risk. He's a free agent. Allen Robinson coming off a torn ACL. I think they'll do their best to sign him, but he's going to have a high market as he proves to teams that he's healthy, fully healthy after getting hurt in September last year. So that's going to be wild card. So if they let Robinson and Lee walk, then we're starting to talk about Landry. But it's a lot of big ifs there with the Jaguars and the value. I think right now you'd think Robinson is a priority to keep. And they would, I think they would move on easily from Lee, given that they have DeeDee Westbrook and Keelan Cole there to help if they go back to their old-school approach with Hurns and Robinson for Blake Bortles. So I don't see either the 49ers or Jaguars happen for Landry. And frankly, neither is that great for him because I think the 49ers, as much as they have Garoppolo, they still want to run the ball effectively. They still have Garçon there. So I don't think that's going to happen. And with the Jaguars, they're still going to be a run-heavy team. Landry, I know, can be an extension of that because he's pretty much an extended handoff when you look at the 8.8-ish yards per catch, but still not the greatest there. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of Jarvis Landry in free agency. So one of these teams, I'm pretty confident he'll end up in one of these places that I mentioned. There's one of these seven teams. It'll be intriguing what value he has. But we're excited because it's always good to see a player change hands. We know we were excited about Alshon Jeffrey and his value, and he turned out to be pretty prominent there as wide receiver two in fantasy last year. So you got to keep tabs on free agency, and we'll do that for you on Locked On Fantasy Football. Again, this has been Vinny Iyer. You can follow me on Twitter at Vinny Iyer. Follow me at sportingnews.com as well. And on Facebook, Vinny Iyer, you can check out old shows and all my articles at SN. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time to break down something else in free agency.